Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read, Isaiah chapter 26, and we will read at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And so on. What is the desire of our souls this evening? The desire of the believer is towards God. The desire of the child of God desires to remember God. So if we're the children of God, we desire to honor the Lord and we desire to be near him. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And the Lord helping us, we will try to consider this text and think upon it, and also the verses leading up to it from the beginning of the chapter. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. When the Lord delivers his people, there will be a song that is sung, just like Isaiah begins chapter 25, exalting the Lord, singing praise to him. So the church is praising God for this wonderful deliverance. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. God has delivered his people from the enemy, and he himself is their defense. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks, bulwarks being defensive walls, and God himself, who saves his people, will defend them. And the church has witnessed this, and the church is singing to God. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The righteous nation, of course, that's God's people, the church whom he has delivered. And this righteous nation keeps the truth. That is, keeps faithfulness and believes the word of God, believes the promise of God. God has revealed his way of salvation, and the church believes it. It is the righteous nation which keepeth the truth. And they enter in. They enter in into the city. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeper the truth may enter in. So the church is compared, at least there's this allusion probably to the Jews when they escaped Babylon, when they were delivered from exile, and they're returning to Jerusalem, and the gates are to open to them, at least figuratively, and the church is entering into that restored condition of prosperity. And that's a picture of the church entering into a better state of things, a more organized condition, and brought to a state of peace and prosperity, like a well-organized city. The church is compared to Jerusalem, which is compactly built together. So here is unity and prosperity and peace. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And the church knows from experience how the Lord delivers his people. And the church is praising God, speaking to him, saying, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And this is what the church has experienced. The church has experienced this being brought into a condition of peace, being delivered from tumult, delivered from a heathen environment, brought into its own condition of peace and prosperity. This is the doing of the Lord. And this is what the Lord does. The church speaks from experience for everyone whose mind is stayed on the Lord because He trusteth in thee, and this is what can only be expected in regard to those who are trusting in the Lord. In thee he is assured. In thee he is confident, not in man, not confident in self, but trusting in the Lord, this person is confident. Here is a promise of peace, and that promise is made known based upon experience. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Well, as we asked already on Sabbath night, when we are agitated or we are tempted to be anxious, where do we go for help? What do we look to? What do we resort to? Can we say with the psalmist that my heart is fixed? And regarding the man that fears the Lord, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, and so he does not need to be afraid of evil tidings. Whatever takes place, because this is a mind stayed upon the Lord, this person knows that all will be well, because God governs all things. God rules all for the best interests of his people, as we see here. And so the church, being restored to a condition of peace, is encouraged to exhort others to trust in the Lord also. As it has been pointed out, it is only the church which is truly evangelistic, the true church, a church that has experienced God's mercy and salvation. And so the church is calling others to trust in the Lord. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. How the child of God desires strength, recognizing the obstacles and the difficulties in front of us, and feeling our own weakness, having a sense of insufficiency. What a precious promise is brought before us here. What an exhortation that we should lay to heart and seek to put into practice. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Always trust in him, because the Lord will always be a strength to you. In him is everlasting strength, a strength that does not last just for a little while. It's not a well that will run dry, but in the Lord there is salvation and strength and grace to eternity. But here's another reason why we are exhorted to trust in the Lord, and that is verse 5. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Those who exalt themselves will be brought low. Clearly it's a warning for those who exalt themselves and are self-confident and don't trust in the Lord. If we don't trust in the Lord, then we will inevitably trust in something, and that is no way to succeed. The fact is, God brings down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low, he layeth it low even to the ground. He brings the high ones, those who are lifted up with pride and boast of their greatness. God will lay them low, even to the ground. He bringeth even to the dust of death, the dust of the grave. In other words, they will surely be punished. They will surely die, and they will go beyond the grave. So this is a warning, but perhaps we should take it also as an encouragement, because those who are high, conceited, boasting of their own might, are usually the ones who have in view their direct hate towards God's people. They are oppressors. They oppress God's poor people. And so God is always ready to declare his might and strength against the oppressors. Trust in the Lord, because he will bring down them that dwell on high. You poor people, trust in the Lord, because your oppressors will not always succeed in overcoming you. God will bring them down. He will bring them even to the dust. In fact, verse 6, the foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. the very ones whom they oppressed will trample them underfoot. The steps of the needy will find the enemy to be a track to walk upon. There's no cruelty in that. It's a certainty that is brought before God's poor people that their enemies will be defeated. And the ultimate enemy is Satan, leading the world in its opposition against the church. What a glorious day it is for the persecuted church when the enemy that was set on annihilating the church is stopped in its tracks, is overwhelmed, overcome, and no one is really going to feel sorry for Goliath or Hitler and other tyrants who have led the opposition against the church. But there will be rejoicing when Babylon is brought down and God's people are saved from the cruelty and the tyranny of the evil one. He bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. The seeing God clearly promises a very certain deliverance to his people. Is it not plain that God will lead the steps of his people? The steps of the needy are brought into a straight path, which will be a path of triumph. The way of the just is uprightness. And the word uprightness, it can also be translated straight. The way of the just is straight. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just, or level the path of the just. Perhaps the idea is the scale is balanced. It's not weighed improperly, but the translation that of this word can also be level. Thou dost level the path of the just. So the Lord makes the rough places smooth for God's people. When things seem crooked and irregular, God straightens out their path and shows them where to go. He will remove the obstacles. He will take away the hindrances. He will bring his people forward to a path of victory. It's all victory, really, for God's people, because they're on the mountain, even though they feel at times they're in the valleys. They're on the mountain because their rock is Christ, and God has established them firmly upon himself. No matter what they feel shaky and they tremble at times, yet in God's eyes, their position is safe and secure. It is the grace wherein we stand, Paul says. And God gives firm footing and a plain path and straightening out those crooked ways. The way of the just, the way of God's people who are righteous in Christ, is uprightness, or it is straight. Thou most upright dost weigh the path, or level the path of the just. And now we come to verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. The desire of God's people is to the Lord, to his name. And they desire with their soul, their inmost being. Almost literally, it is speaking of the personal. With my soul, it is personalized. It is the church that is speaking in a very personal way. In verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. So the church collectively and the church individually desires the Lord. And it's in the way of God's judgments. It's in the way in which God metes out judgments to the enemy, because, as we said already, or we have said before, that when the Lord delivers the church, he also destroys the enemy. And that is a very bold warning against the enemy. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. We who wait upon God know that God is a just God, and he will smite the enemy. He will bring them down. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we waited for thee. We wait for thee to work. And as we've said, we've experienced that deliverance. We have a strong city. Moab is sinking. God's people are rising. Trust ye in the Lord forever. We know that God will bring down the enemy, even to the dust. So in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, knowing that thou wilt overcome the enemy on behalf of thy people, O Lord, we have waited for thee. We have kept truth. We have believed the promises. Our minds have been stayed on thee. And speaking reverently, sure enough, God has intervened on behalf of his people. We have waited in the way of thy judgments. Now again, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. What do we desire this evening? Here is the church, God's people, those who have grace. They are saying the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And God's name, of course, is God himself as he has revealed himself. And his memorial, or rather remembrance, is God's work on behalf of his people, so that he gets a name for himself and he is remembered for that work. He has wrought an amazing work on behalf of his people, and his people glorify him for that work. So the desire of our soul is to thy name, God, who reveals himself wondrously on behalf of his people and displays the truth that is in his name, cause his people to triumph over the enemy, and to the remembrance of thee, so that we will always remember what God has done on behalf of his people. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And we have a reference in Exodus chapter 3, when God says to Moses, I am that I am, and his name is Jehovah. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So God will get a name for himself, and because of his almighty arm, he will get honor to himself. His people will remember him for what he has done. And this is what the church desires, that God would work powerfully and his name would be constantly thought upon. Do we desire this? Do we desire God's glory? Do we desire that God would work? It would be clearly the doing of the Lord and wondrous in our eyes. The desire of our soul as a church is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. But then again, it is personalized in verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Can we say that I desire the Lord, and it is my soul, with my soul, there is longing within me. It is my soul, my very inner self, that desires God and his glory, God to work and God to be honored for that work. With my soul have I desired thee. I have desired thee, Like David says in Psalm 27, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is the new man in believers, their truest self, not the selfish self which desires the things of the earth, the things that will satisfy me, but deep within me, because of the work of grace, because of the work of the Spirit, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart responded. Deep within me, I feel it most inside me. The other desires I have, they're superficial, they're external, but there's something deep within me. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. And it is not something that is just the work of the flash of a moment, but it is day and night. With my spirit, so in the nighttime, have I desired thee in the night? And yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So the idea is that night and morning, night and day, the child of God desires the Lord and is seeking God's face. Just as God says in chapter 27, I will keep it, that is his vineyard, I will keep it night and day. So the child of God is saying, I will seek thee night and day. My soul desires thee night and day. Yes, there are times when the believer feels more dull than at other times, but this is describing the habitual desire of a child of God. It's not just once and it's an old experience, but it's an ongoing characteristic of the child of God. They desire the Lord. They desire his glory. It may be very faint sometimes, and other times it's stronger. But it is their soul, their inward desire to the Lord, to the remembrance of him, to his name. Yes, so that they will experience deliverance, deliverance from sin, deliverance from Satan, deliverance from the temptations of the world. Their very soul is crying out for the living God, thirsting for God, for his grace and for his honor, and grace to honor him every day. The child of God wants to honor the Lord and feels grieved that he or she cannot honor the Lord in their daily walk as they would do. But going back to this night and day, in the night and early, think about perhaps we have a proof that secret worship should at least be morning and evening. It's almost the very light of nature that tells us we should begin the day with prayer, seeking God's blessing upon the day, and we should end the day with prayer, thanking God for helping us through the day and asking him to keep us through the night. But here's the experience of a true child of God. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Do we seek the Lord early? Do we seek the Lord late? Is it the desire of our souls to have the Lord near to us? With my soul have I desired thee in the night. But then again, the reason is brought before us. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Here's the specific reason. Many reasons why the child of God desires the Lord. Desires to have fellowship with God, desires to honor the Lord, desires that God would be glorified. But here's the particular reason brought before us in the text. For, here's the reason, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So this is one reason why when troubles come upon the land, like terrible weather or fires or recession, it is not necessarily the worst thing that could happen. That's what the child of God thinks. It may be, in fact, the best thing that happened to the nation, because then people will see that God is a just God, that he does not tolerate sin. And so when God chastises the nations through calamities, it may be the means of bringing the nation to its senses, to restrain evil and to seek the Lord. when thy judgments are in the earth. This is what I desire deep within me. Here's the exercised child of God, desiring that the Lord would be honored in the way that pleases him. And we know from the scriptures that he often does use these national chastisements to awaken the nation. We do not desire anyone to suffer, but we know that this is how God works. This is the deep desire of the child of God, in the way of thy judgments, delivering the church, which involves the destruction of the enemy, and knowing that God, in his judgments upon the world, will bring the world to himself. Not always will this be the effect. Let favor be showed to the wicked, verse 10, yet will he not learn righteousness. This is what the church knows, that God has caused the sun to shine upon the heathen for centuries and filling our hearts with food and gladness, but the nations continued in idolatry. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. So this is one reason why there's a desire that perhaps through the judgments of God, the nation would turn. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. And so in a land where there is good people and good examples and so on, still the wicked are determined to go on in their sin. They refuse to behold the majesty of the Lord. But verse 11, when thy hand is lifted up, Lord, they will not see. Now, they are blind, but they shall see. The day is coming when they will see with their own eyes and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. And that is very solemn. Those who are determined to resist God, and they will not be awakened, and they close their eyes to the truth, when their eyes are opened, it will be too late, and the fires of hell will be poured upon them. But the Lord will ordain peace for his people. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us, or as the margin has it, for us. God has wrought for his people. He has delivered them. He delivered his people from Babylon. And he delivers his people today in various ways from sin and the devil and the world. But where do we stand? What are our desires? That's how we want to conclude. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Do we desire that others would learn righteousness? Do we desire that others would trust in the Lord? Do we desire that God would be honored, that his name would not still be blasphemed, but that God would get glory to himself by people turning from their sins? Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles, was sent for that reason, to turn sinners from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins, that their sins may be forgiven. That's what the child of God desires, that sinners would be converted unto thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. The church exhorts everyone. Everyone whose eyes alight upon this passage is directed to trust in the Lord as he reveals himself in Christ. Go to the Savior. Trust ye in him. For in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. Make peace with him by embracing his peace. Isaiah 27 verse 5. And he shall make peace with me, because he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Go to him, set your mind on him, believe his promise, trust in his precious blood to wash away your sins. Trust ye in the Lord forever. That's what we exhort everyone tonight to trust in the Lord. Go to him for forgiveness. Go to him for grace. And go to him for that desire, whether it's for the first time or by renewal, that there would be an inward burning glow of love towards the Lord. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Perhaps it manifests itself in sighs and cries and groaning and desires, but it stems from love, deep love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we desire God to lift up the light of his countenance upon us? Do we desire to have communion with Christ? Do we feel this deep within our souls? Do we desire to be like him? Oh, that there would be more likeness to Christ, that I would be meek and lowly in heart as he was, that I would follow him and be one of his sheep, and that I would have the assurance more and more that no man will pluck me out of his hand. My state is secure in the hands of Christ. Perfect peace is for all those who trust in the Lord. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Well, the Lord gets a name for himself, and he will have all the glory. And that is what the Lord's people desire deep within them. Not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but unto thy name give glory for thy truth's sake and for thy mercy's sake. Is that our desire? Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.